Anybody know why they call the 15 Psalms, beginning with Psalm 121 in our Bible, the Songs of Ascent? There are 15 of them that have that little title on them. Most scholars think that there's 15 because there were 15 traditional steps that the people of God would go in as they entered the temple, 15 long steps. And as they went on special high holy days into the temple, the priests would go up, and each step they would say a different psalm. And that's why they're called the Song of Ascents, because each psalm you're getting higher and higher and higher until you enter the temple. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John. John chapter 3, we'll be reading the first 17 verses. And this is the good news about Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where the wind is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "Well, how can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "Well, you are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you do not believe our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe? How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." Let us pray. Dear God, we're grateful that you are present. We recognize your presence in our midst. You did not magically appear to us in this room as we entered, but instead you've been with us all along, every step of the way, all week long. And so together as your people, we gather in this place to be reminded of what you have said, and more importantly, what you have invited us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, America, our great country, might have been called Columbia. You think? Do you know how America got its name? America Vespucci. He was a fellow that told the story of Christopher Columbus. He was not Christopher Columbus. His first name was Americas. So we named our country America. But did you know that when Christopher Columbus left in 1492, he was an Italian, right? He left. He couldn't get the Italians excited about this go discover another route to Japan or Asia. He just couldn't figure it out. They just would not agree with him. They said, you're nuts. I'm not paying you anything to do that. So he actually went around and went to almost every single country in Europe and asked for a credit card to go find another route to Asia. That was his mission. And finally, he tricked, not Ferdinand, but Isabella. He tricked Isabella into financing the trip, and so he left. So Christopher Columbus makes his voyage, 4,000 miles long, because he surmised that Asia was only about 4,000 miles from Europe. And when he landed at about 4,000 miles, he called the people he found Indians, because he thought he landed in the Indies, the West Indies, which would be today Indonesia. He thought, you know, a little bit south of Asia, but still in the Asiatic area. And so he called them Indians. You know what Columbus, what's curious is that Columbus thought he actually discovered the whole rest of the world. And he thought it ended in Asia. In other words, he thought our world was only as big as going around, leaving Western Europe, and traveling 4,000 miles, and he would find Asia. And if he went just a little bit further, he'd be back home. Do you know he believed that to his death? He never realized, or never admitted, that actually he only knew a very small part of the world. And actually, it would have taken him 12,000 miles to leave from Western Europe to go all the way around. And oops, did we forget? There's a continent that we happen to be living on in between. His map did not allow for that extra distance in how he looked at the world. Columbus's world was very small. And to his death, again, he never believed it was any different. He was truly a medieval thinker. To get back to America's Vespucci, he was a man who also traveled around. He wasn't a great explorer, but he went on many, many, many trips. But he happened to be the one that, while Columbus was living, he published a tract, a news release, and said, I actually have some questions about Señor Columbus. And I actually believe that we've only made our way around one-third of the world. And I actually think what we actually discovered was not Asia at all, but was another continent. And you know what? That tract became so popular that when historians began to write the story and they had to refer to this unknown continent, they thought it was America's that discovered it because he spoke with such authority about it. And that's how we got our name. And so two out of the seven continents of the world bear a name of a person who didn't even discover it, so to speak. But it was because he dared ask the question, I don't think we know everything. I'm pretty certain that if we keep looking, we may discover something new. Well, I want you to go back in your Wayback Machine now to Abraham. Now, none of us were around then. Even Cold Spring Church wasn't around then. It was about 1900 BC. And Abraham, who lived up sort of in modern-day Iran, Abraham got a call from God. Not sure how he reached him, but he did. And he invited Abraham to get up and leave his hometown. Well, we know none of those people were in South Jersey, because we're not going anywhere. Abraham, you know, he wasn't a world traveler. And again, most people back in that day didn't even believe there was much beyond 500 miles away from where they were. They didn't have any capacity. There was no room on their plate to imagine a world any bigger than pretty much where they could travel over a couple days. But somehow, God tapped Abraham on his shoulder. And he said, Abraham? Actually, he was Abram at that point in the story. Abram. He tapped Abram on the shoulder and he said, Abram, I want you to get up and go with all your cohort, all your friends, all your family. I want you just to get, I want you to take the pack mules. I want you just to get everything. Clear out your closets. Give away all the other stuff to the Goodwill because you're going someplace. Someplace very special. And he would say, of course, like, where are we going? And God said, I'm going to take you to a place that's going to blow your mind. It's going to be incredible. And so he got up and he went. Do you know how old Abraham was when he made that trip? He was actually the same age as the average age of our congregation. How many people here are 75 years old? Don't mind saying so. 75. Come on. I'll be 75 someday. I'll raise my hand, I promise. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you. Or older, I suppose, but no, we'll stick with that. So imagine you, whoever raised your hand just now, God taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, you, I got a little errand for you to do. I want you to get up. I want you to take all your friends and family, give all the stuff you don't need to the Goodwill, and I want you to go to a land that's going to blow your mind. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. Would you go?" Would you go? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. 75 years old. You know, Abraham lived to be 120. And so he was only in middle age, actually, in the chronology of the day. But Abraham still got up and went. He didn't understand how big his world was. He didn't quite understand where it was that God was taking him. He couldn't order, go online. You know, Google doesn't know everything. But even back then, he didn't even have that. And so he could have gone online and said, "Let's see, what's the land of Canaan? I have no clue what that is. Let me see, Google it and see what comes up." And know what, if he did, he may not have gone. But he got up and he went. He realized later, much later, it took him a very long time to get there. He made 15, 17 stops along the way. Ran into lots of interesting people. But you know what God told him? It's the scripture that Marge read to us a few minutes ago. "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." This is from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And he said, "I will make of you a great nation." This is one guy, 75 years old. "I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I am going to bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I'm going to curse. And all the families of the world will be blessed." Abraham had no clue what world was, but he knew it was bigger than what he had. And he knew that God was bigger than his greatest fears. And he got up and went. And the rest is history. Our history. Well, zooming ahead about 2,000 some years, we find Jesus, who is in the evening time, and a guy comes by. His name's Nick. He was sort of Nick at Night. And Nick at Night shows up and just comes into Jesus. And actually, you know, curiously, he never asks Jesus a question in the beginning. It's sort of like that relative that shows up and just plops himself down and says nothing. You know, no news. Nothing happening. And all Nick says is, "Hey, Jesus, you must be sent from God because you do some pretty cool things." And that's it. Wow, what a conversationalist. And so Nick comes up and simply approaches Jesus. He was respectful. He calls him rabbi. But anybody that was a teacher was called rabbi. But Nick, a religious leader that Jesus actually kind of teases with him about during this whole conversation. "Oh, you're a religious leader, I see. Yeah, that's why you know all this." But Jesus somehow understands that Nicodemus needs to understand something that he's not asking. He needs to see a part of the world that's not on the map. He needs to be taken to a place that he doesn't even know exists. And you know what that world is called? It's called the world of the Spirit. And so, Jesus says, "I tell you," and again, Nicodemus did not ask for any of this that follows. He's not asking, but Jesus is giving. "I tell you, Nick, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." And of course, he gets hung up on that, you know, like, who wouldn't? You know, born again, what? I don't get that. That's silly talk. I mean, you're a rabbi. I mean, certainly I can't, like, be born again. See, but he was thinking about earthly birth. He was thinking about ordinary biological birth. And naturally, because he didn't understand anything beyond what he knew. He didn't know anything that wasn't on his map. Like Columbus, when Columbus died, he still thought he found the route to the West Indies. He thought his world was small. And so Nicodemus is puzzling with Jesus. Surely you can't enter a second time and be born? Oh my goodness. And Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God, again, the Spirit, recognizing the world of the Spirit, which is not a place, it's an experience, it's here now. Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you. And so this kingdom of God thing, Nicodemus just couldn't possibly get. And he says, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, maybe referring to baptism, and a spiritual rebirth, yes, water and the Spirit. And Jesus says, well, flesh just gives birth to flesh, but when you're born of the Spirit, you're giving birth to a whole new experience. It's totally different. And Jesus says, you shouldn't be surprised by this. And he says, the wind blows wherever it pleases, you hear its sound, you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. Let me repeat that. And I want you to think of Abraham. I want you to think of Columbus. He says, the wind blows where it pleases. You can't hear its sound. You can hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. God is inviting all of us to recognize that our spiritual journey with Christ is not just to be better at what we're doing where we are, but actually, it's that, totally, but it's beyond that. It's actually, don't you realize that people that are born of the Spirit go all over, experience all sorts of things? Don't you know that people that are born again, who have faith in Christ, that these are the people who God wants to transform, not just your pew bench, not just your cool church. And by the way, we have the coolest church in Cape May. It's not about that. Actually, God has invited us, people born of the Spirit. You don't know all the places they're going, it says. People that are born of the Spirit, it says here, are supposed to transform something bigger. All right, so Nick's not getting this. Now, you can just imagine, right? Now, Nick, later in life, we find Nicodemus, later in life, entering Jesus' story after Jesus dies on the cross. And it's Nicodemus' money that fronts the bill for the funeral expenses. So, Nick's totally cool guy. But right here, he's pretty much of a dunce. He's totally not getting it. And then Jesus uses this analogy that certainly a teacher like Nicodemus would know, that when the people of God were in the wilderness and there was people were dying of snake bites. And what happened was they were being disobedient. And so Moses wrapped a snake around a stick and held it up in the air. It's where our medical profession gets its symbol of that snake wrapped around the stick. Whenever, if you've been bitten, a totally bad thing, so sorry about that. But Moses holds this up and says, if you but believe, here, look at this snake on this stick. If you look at this, God will heal you. He gave them a point of reference for their faith. And Jesus says, just as Moses held up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And Jesus is referring to himself. It's a favorite phrase of Jesus when he talks of himself. The Son of Man, he's the Son of Man. And Jesus says, he's going to be lifted up. And what he does on that cross, unlike the serpent, actually that is going to have incredible power to transform your life. And so Nicodemus is probably still questioning. And this is where the story of Nicodemus ends, here in the Gospel of John. Jesus essentially tells him, he says, you need to get connected to the spirit world. The spirit world that God has invited us as followers of Christ to be mindful of, to pay attention to realize your world is far bigger than what you can see. It's totally off your map, but it's there, none the same, nonetheless. And then, parenthetically to the text, this is the gospel, this is John, this is John's story. We're leaving the Nick story. And this is almost like it would be a narrator if you were watching this in a movie. It would come in as closed captioning at the bottom. Scene would freeze. Nicodemus is there looking pretty much like. And the caption underneath, sliding up the screen, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him won't even perish, but have an eternal life, an abundant life, a life absolutely off your map, totally unimaginable, just incredible. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." You see, we needed John's commentary by the Spirit here to explain what Nick was not getting. Jesus was reminding Nicodemus that the Spirit goes all over. The Spirit is not about just transforming your life, although it includes that. It starts there. That's, in fact, the first step. But that imagine that through you, what if I said to you that the world through you is just going to do incredible things? That your faith in Christ is so big that other people are going to be blessed through you. And that even though you're 75 years old, guess what? Next year you'll be 76. And after that, maybe 77. But never mind that, because even at your age, God wants to bless the world through you. That's the message that God gave Abram. He totally couldn't have understood it then. But that every nation will be blessed because of you. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, don't you get it? The Spirit, as soon as you connect with the Spirit, it's the entire world that is in God's eyes. For God loves the whole world. And he wants us to be a part of that. It's not how small God is. It's how huge God is. And that's why John 3:16 has become sort of the most, almost the most well-known verse in the Bible. But John 3:16 doesn't work without John 3:17. That John 3:16 says that God loves the world. And that Jesus died for the world. But John 3:17 says, remember that God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn it, or to make it feel bad, or to tell it how awful it is, but instead entered it and went all over the world to tell the world, you can be delivered. That even at 75 years of age, or 8 years of age, that you, through you, God can do amazing things. You know what? I believe that about you. And each of us are getting a tap on the shoulder today. And you may not be 75. You may be 74. You think you have a year. He doesn't. He doesn't care about your age. No, you don't have to wait till 75. That God's tapping and saying, you know what? I'm going to do something really special through you. And you're saying, it's not on my map. Well, I hope we learn a lesson from Columbus. And let's just make sure we don't die thinking we knew it all. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you've just invited us into this realm of the Spirit. And we thank you that you don't send us there, but you invite us there and remain with us there in good care. And we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.